precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, in heaven believeth, shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. German ceremony in Israel to honor World War II SS dead. The German embassy in Israel planned a memorial ceremony, and not for the first time, according to the embassy's military attaché, for Germans killed while serving in the army of the Third Reich. Can you believe it? Including those in SS units. At the cemetery adjacent to the family hospital in Nazareth, two German priests will give speeches, invitations to the ceremony, and the following small reception signed by the military attaché, Colonel Ernest Elbers, was distributed. The Israeli Defense Forces were not involved in the event, and its representatives were not invited. Well, they know better than to invite them. They would have not come. Invitations were sent to senior IDF reserve officers who are involved in research of World War I, who assumed the event at the recently renovated site would be dedicated exclusively to that war. They were shocked to discover that they are called to honor the memory of the fallen and missing servicemen in both World Wars who served in the German Army. One of the invitees, Brigadier General Yagal Shefi, who teaches military history at Tel Aviv University and is an executive member of the Association for Military History, called Eber's office in protest and announced his refusal to take part in an event honoring the armed forces of Germany and other forces of the Nazi regime. Elbers was asked about insensitivity in holding such a ceremony in Israel, both because Israel is a state of Holocaust survivors and relatives of its victims, And because the German Army's Africa Corps in 1942 was about to occupy Palestine and bring an end to the Jewish settlement in it. According to the logic of the ceremony, the military attaché was told, Israelis are being asked to honor the memory of Field Marshal Rommel because he died in the war. And even more absurd, to honor the memory of Hitler himself, who committed suicide before the end of the war. Now, are you listening to this outrageous news about what they are doing? Can you believe the gall, the outright insensitivity? It's the offense is obnoxious that they would perform such a thing, and to do it in Israel just makes me speechless. I just don't know what to say. This is outrageous. This is wicked. It's unbelievable. But this is just stepping stones where we're going to find the nations of the world are going to gather against Israel. The hatred against the Jews is embedded in the cultures of many countries. And sadly to say, it is still there in countries like Germany. Now, yes, I realize not all Germans have this problem, but evidently there are some insensitivities that going unchecked will become disastrous for Germany again. J. Norlinger writes in the National Review, I have a correspondent who works for UBS in Europe. UBS is the largest Swiss bank owning Paine Webber and other companies. They've just opened a new office in Bahrain. And an interesting invoice surfaced from a German furniture company. I am in possession of a copy of that invoice. Stamped on it are the following words. We herewith confirm that the above mentioned goods are not of Israeli origin, nor do they contain to any degree Israeli components, nor have they been imported from Israel. Lovely. My correspondent says, to sum it up, 57 years after Auschwitz, a German company, no less, issues a paper certifying that its products are Juderin. Shouldn't there be some outrage or at least some concern? Yes, but not in Bahrain, where they demand that their furniture be Jew-free. Can you believe this stuff is going on out there? Oh, brother, I'll tell you, it's just incredible. Well, what would they say if we in America have the same kind of thing and have a certified invoice saying that none of the products that we use in America or Israel have been manufactured with German parts? Now, folks, this is outrageous. But we are seeing a pattern all around the world. But don't worry. Be alarmed, but don't worry. And I tell you that because God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who loves the Jew, the God who loves Abraham, and there's only one God, and he's Israel's the apple of God's eye. But no matter what happens, don't fret yourself, because God is going to balance the books one day. That's right. Now here's another news item. Canada embraces Hezbollah, and in a twist of unbelievable dimensions, rejects Magen David Adam. One day after 14 Israelis were killed by Islamic Jihad terrorists, And a week after the Canadian Prime Minister addressed a Beirut summit that included Hezbollah leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah in the front row of the audience, because we've talked about him already, human rights lawyer and member of parliament Erwin Kotler urged Canada to put Hezbollah, Hamas, and Islamic Jihad on its list of terrorist entities. Hezbollah is currently allowed to raise money in Canada for its social services network, which runs schools and clinics in Lebanon. At the same time, MDA, that's the Megan David Adam, that they are the ambulance service in Israel, faces a threat from across the Atlantic Ocean. The CCRA, Canada Customs and Revenue Agency, has announced plans to shut down Canadian Megan David Adam. This will close off an important avenue by which Canadians can donate ambulances and medical equipment supplies directly to MDA at a time when Israel's in dire need of ambulances and medical supplies. Concerned citizens have started a campaign to lobby the Canadian government not to close the CMDA. Shame on Canada. I'll tell you what, it's incredible to see the false balance. You know, the Bible says a false balance is an abomination of God. Here they're helping promote a bunch of terrorists, and they're shutting down an Israeli ambulance service. There is no equality. This is absolute bigotry against the Jew. This is absolute discrimination. This is hardcore. I say it is. You're listening to me. If you're in Canada and if you love the Jew and love the Bible and you claim to be a Bible-believing Christian, you ought to protest. Right? You ought to write write these people in Canada and protest. This is outrageous. This is just outrageous. Just outrageous. But this is just hardcore anti-Semitism. And if you don't stand up and do something about it, it's just going to get worse. Well, don't be discouraged. God is going to have the last say in all of this. It's sad, but it's true. Remember Canada. Remember Germany. Remember countries who are lax in their treatment on behalf of the nation of Israel and the Jews. God turned Egypt's rivers to blood, remember? Her streets to heaps of frogs, remember? Her houses to swarms of flies, her sands to lice, her flocks to pestilence, her flesh to boils, her trees to flaming hailstones, her crops to locusts, her skies to darkness, and her firstborn to death. God will not forget. You will reap what you sow. If I was you, and you live in any of these countries that are tolerating this nonsense, because you don't hear about this in the mainstream media, but you're hearing it now, and there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands are listening to this broadcast. You ought to do something about this. You ought not to tolerate it. You ought to protest and kick these guys out of government that are allowing this nonsense to go on. There's no equality. This is hatred, just deep hatred, racism against God's chosen people. The State Department report shows a bias. Israel and the PLO lumped together in a section of the State Department report titled Israel and the Occupied Territories, were both lauded for generally respecting freedom of worship, but criticism of Israel took up most of the 15-page section. Well, what about that? Now, I'm an American. I'm not going to put up with the nonsense in my own country, anti-Semitism and this unequal, unjust, one-sided things that are being reported against Israel are not even founded. There are numerous signs of the beleaguered position of the Christian population in the areas administered by the Palestinian Authority. In August 1997, Palestinian policemen in Beit Sahor opened fire on a crowd of Christian Arabs, wounding six. The PAPLO covered up the accident, or incident rather. In February 2002, Palestinian Muslims rampaged against Christians in Ramallah, and the Palestinian Authority failed to intervene. As reported by the Boston Globe, hundreds of men poured out of the refugee camp and went to Ramallah, where they burned Hana Salami's house and store. They then burned his brother's store, damaged several businesses owned by Christians not related to the Salamis, and torched the exercise room and terrorized more than 100 children at Sarara, a scouting and youth center. A Palestinian convert to Christianity living near Shechem was arrested by the Palestinian police. A Muslim preacher was brought in who attempted to convince the man to return to Islam. When he refused, he was brought before a Palestinian court and sentenced to prison for insulting the religious leader. The exile of 39 hardcore Palestinian terrorists from Beit Lechem, 13 to Europe and 26 to Gaza, after the siege at the Church of the Nativity ended a two-year reign of terror for local residents that included rape, extortion, and executions. Palestinians who lived near the church described the group as a criminal gang that preyed especially on Palestinian Christians. Now listen, I've been in Israel myself, and I can testify this to be true. And so if you are a Bible-believing Christian, I know you love the Jew, and I know that you're under persecution. But you need to stand for what is right. You might just need to leave that area and claim asylum in Israel or go to America or something. Because anybody hates the Jews is going to hate Christians that love the God. Let me tell you something. In particular, Baptists have always suffered with the Jews down through history. Whenever they have hated Baptists, they've hated Jews. Whenever they hated Jews, they've hated Baptists. Look at your history, folks. It's all there. Do you see a pattern as I'm reporting on this news? Oh, man, I see a pattern, and this doesn't let up. Blair compares Iraq with Israel. Israeli leaders responded with concern when remarks by British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who declares support for a Palestinian state based on the 1967 borders, and stressed that UN resolutions were binding on all Middle East nations, not only Iraq. Well, I wish that Blair would have read the Balfour Declaration that originated out of Britain. Cabinet Minister Danny Navia, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's ruling Likud, said that he was disturbed by British Prime Minister Tony Blair's statements on compliance. I would too. And by possible comparisons between Iraq and Israel over the Jewish state's past resistance to certain Security Council resolutions. Blair, criticized by left-wingers in his Labor Party for threatening war in Iraq instead of trying to end Israeli-Palestinian violence, told his party's conference that United Nations resolutions must be implemented across the Middle East, not just in Baghdad. Note, Blair's speech calling for Israel to return to the 1967 boundaries is all the more ironic in light of the fact that it was Lord Carradine, envoy of Mr. Blair's own Labor Party, who drafted Security Council Resolution 242, which specifically did not require such a move. Carradine explained later, It would have been wrong to demand that Israel return to its positions of June 4, 1967, because those positions were undesirable and artificial. Oh, man, at least somebody's thinking right over there. Meanwhile, U.S. officials assured Israeli diplomats that the U.S. had not asked Blair to link U.N. resolutions on Iraq to U.N. resolutions related to Israel. Israeli officials in Jerusalem had speculated that the U.S. had encouraged Blair to make the comment in order to curry favor with Arab states ahead of a potential attack on Iraq. A White House official told the Jerusalem Post, "It's a statement of fact that we think U.N. Security Council resolutions should be implemented. In our view, the implementation process of resolutions 242 and 338 has already started. There is a political dialogue to resolve the outstanding issues," he said, the official said. Bush has rejected Blair's initiative to push forward peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians, the British newspaper The Guardian had reported. Prepare a war, rouse the mighty men. Western diplomatic sources said Syria has reached progress in its drive to obtain the SA-18 surface-to-air missile from Moscow. The sources described the deal as significant and said it could vastly improve the air defense component of Syria's ground forces. "This is not just another set of negotiations," a diplomatic source familiar with the talks said. "This is meant to significantly bolster Syria's air defense and ground capabilities, and the talks are seen as being in the advanced stage." Russia has launched what officials termed was a critical phase of a project to build a nuclear reactor for Iran. Officials said Russia has delivered heavy equipment for the shell of the 1,000-megawatt reactor and the turbine at the Persian Gulf port city of Bushehr. They said the equipment began undergoing assembly, and the Moscow plans to significantly increase the number of Russian engineers and technicians connected to the Bushehr project, valued at $800 million. Iran signed an accord with Kuwait aimed at establishing military cooperation between the Islamic Republic and a pro-Western Arab state on the Persian Gulf for the first time since Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution. Iran's defense minister, Ali Shamkhani, and his Kuwaiti counterpart signed the memo of understanding in Tehran, Iran state television said. Shamkhani later said the accord called for the exchange of military experts, training cooperation, and other exchanges on security matters. Meanwhile, Kuwait reports that the United States has deployed 10 PAC-2 anti-aircraft and anti-missile batteries in the country. Now that might be old news by the time you get this broadcast. But deployment marks the largest number of PAC-2 batteries in the Middle East country. Israel is said to have less than half the number of PAC-2 batteries. Kuwaiti foreign minister said that the deployment of the Patriot batteries is meant to protect the sheikhdom from any Iraqi missile attack. Al-Sabah did not provide details of when the batteries were delivered, but said the sheikhdom plans to acquire an 11th PAC-2 battery. Situation is not normal, and recent military deployments have caused certain worries in Kuwait, Al-Sabah said. So, the country has taken delivery of 10 Patriot missile batteries, whereas Israel only has 4. Well, you guess it, we're ready for a big, big battle. News provided courtesy of Zion News International. And thank you to TNS, who quoted from most of the sources from the Jerusalem Post, Haaretz 7, Haaretz AP, Middle East Web, IMRA, MENL, Koenigs International News, U.S. Department of State, and Marav. Well, don't turn your dial If you've been interested in this broadcast, we got more for you to come. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you have stayed with us for the last half of the broadcast, and it'll be a tremendous blessing that you did. Stick it out. And we're going to continue on the series regarding the subject, Who is a Jew? How do you know you're a Jew? Well, my mother told me I'm a Jew. I was born a Jew. I went to a synagogue all my life, so I guess I'm a Jew. Or I was raised by Jewish parents or grandparents. Or I feel like I'm a Jew. Or I think being a Jew is a good thing. We're going to cover, really, from the Bible perspective, how one is a true Jew, both physically and spiritually. Now, we sure appreciate those that are listening to this broadcast around the world, and we encourage you to write us letters and let us know that you're getting the broadcast loud and clear, the reception's good, and let us know what station you're able to listen to the broadcast. It would thrill us and encourage us. We need to know what's going on out there. And if you have any questions, why, you ought to write us, write me personally. And we sure like to get letters. Now, I continue reading from an old Hebrew Bible-believing believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And many of these old-timers had a lot of good things to say. I'll be making some commentary along the way. And the question is, how do you know if you're a Jew? Well, there have been some questions that cannot be answered because the questions I'm about to mention are unanswerable outside of what the Bible says. Now, in the third part, the third question or the third statement, that the Messiah, he was to be like Moses. Yes, indeed. Both Moses and Jesus were saved by miracles when children. Was this really so? We all know that when Moses was born, the midwives of Egypt had received a command from Pharaoh to throw all the male children alive into the river. God miraculously interposed in behalf of Moses, and he was saved. Herod gave a command that all children under 2 years of age be put to death. Then an angel of the Lord came to Joseph and Mary and warned them to flee into Egypt because Herod would seek to destroy the young child's life. Thus, we see in one point where Jesus was like Moses. They both were miraculously saved in their infancy. The accounts in Exodus chapter 2 and Matthew 2 record the stories. Both chose righteousness rather than riches. When Moses was a man full grown, he was offered the crown of Egypt as the rightful heir of Pharaoh's daughter. Egypt at that time, being the greatest nation in the world, all nations were more or less under its rule. But what did Moses do? Did he accept the crown of Pharaoh's? Nay, verily, he thrust it from him to be true to the mission which God had given him. This can be illustrated in Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. Just so with Jesus. When he began his ministry, Satan came to him, brought him to the top of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said, all these things will I give thee to thee if thou will fall down and worship me. But what did Jesus do? He said to Satan, get to hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thus we see that Jesus put aside from him the kingdoms of this world in order to be true to the mission which God had given him. Here is another point of similarity. Here, both divinely commissioned, Moses and Christ. Just before Moses went to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel, God met him at the burning bush, and there personally talked with him and gave him his commission to go to Pharaoh. To do the work which Moses was to do, he must receive his commission directly from God. Exodus chapter 3. So also when Jesus of Nazareth, our holy Messiah, was to enter upon his life's work, when he came up from the water, The heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. And from heaven itself, he heard the commission directly from God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In other places in the New Testament also, do we find where God spake to Jesus directly, even as God spake to Moses. Both were leaders and deliverers. The great mission which Moses was raised up to perform was to be a deliverer of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, to give the children of Israel freedom from servitude, to be a great leader for the people of God. This Moses did well. He was faithful in all his work. We see this in Exodus chapter 14. And about the Messiah, we read in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21, that God raised up Jesus to be the deliverer to his people, Israel, to give them freedom, not merely from temporal slavery, but from the servitude of sin. You need to read John chapter 8, verse 32 to 36. He was raised up to make men free, to give them even greater freedom than Moses possibly could have given them. He was raised up to be the great leader of his people, Israel. So as I am demonstrating here, that there has been none other individual who's been like Moses, but Christ. Christ indeed, like Moses, and greater than Moses indeed. Again, we find these words verified, a prophet like unto Moses. Both are means of healing and salvation. While the fathers were sojourning in the wilderness from Mount Hor to the land of Edom, they murmured against the Lord and against Moses. Because of this spirit of murmuring, the Lord sent among them fiery serpents. These reptiles bit the people terribly, causing many of them to die, others suffering great anguish. When the people realized their fatal error, they came unto Moses and confessed their sin, and asked him to pray for them to the Lord, that the serpents might be taken away. Moses did pray, but the Lord did not remove the serpents. Instead, God said unto them, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. All that the people had to do when they were bitten was to look upon this serpent that Moses had made, then they would live. So you're asking, probably wondering, what does this have to do with who is a Jew? Well, the fact is, Jesus, the Messiah, was and is the greatest Jew that ever lived. But what's so special about Jesus is that he is God manifest in the flesh. And some would claim that Jesus was merely just a prophet or a good man. But he was a lot more than that. He was the greatest Jew that ever lived and ever will live. But he was more than that. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God manifest in the flesh. Now, some might argue, well, how can he be a full-blooded Jew if the blood in his body is divine blood? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. The fact of the matter is that even among the Orthodox and many in Israel, you are qualified to be a Jew if your mother is a full-blooded Jew. So, according to the standards of today, Jesus would be classified as a Jew. But that is immaterial to the fact that the Bible says Jesus came from the seed of David. And the difference is, of course, although his body was a Jewish body and had the genes of being Jewish, His blood was divine. And of course, being the greatest Jew and being the greatest Hebrew of all time, being that he's God, how do you think it all got started? That's right. Of course, the blood that was in the veins of Jesus was a lot purer than Abraham's blood. It was a lot purer than anybody's blood. It was sinless blood. So if you look and discover that a Jew is someone who worships God according to the Bible, a spiritual Jew that is, and is circumcised from the heart, why, Jesus is the greatest Jew that ever lived. He's the greatest Hebrew that ever lived, because he never sinned. Now, see what Jesus said to Nicodemus, a great ruler of the Jews, who came to him one night. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Whoever would look to Jesus, even as the fathers in the wilderness looked to the serpent, they would have life. In Jesus, the Messiah, there is life. Whoever has been bitten by that awful serpent, Satan, and will look at the Messiah as he has been lifted up on the cross for our sins, will receive life. God has given him the power to forgive sins because he is the Son of God. You thus see another great likeness between Moses and Jesus. And let me add to the fact, this is my understanding, I don't know the details, that there is a poisonous snake in Africa. When bitten by this poisonous snake, results in almost instant death within hours. And for a long time, they searched for a remedy, a potion, to deal with the poison. And finally, they discovered that the firstling of the flock of a lamb, in the blood of the firstling of the flock of the lamb, the antibodies of the blood was the only potion that could heal a poisonous body bitten by the snake. Isn't that an amazing illustration? And so it is true. Those who have been bitten by Satan in sin can only be delivered by the power, the potion power, of the forgiving power of the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, looking at the testimony of two other great Jews, since we know who a Jew is, we've went over that already in the last number of broadcasts, still we will give you the testimony of two other good, pious, and learned Jews who also claimed that in Jesus was fulfilled the prophecy that Jesus of Nazareth was the prophet like unto Moses. Here they are. The testimony of Simeon. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we read in chapter 3 that a great miracle had been performed by Peter in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Some of the rabbis and Pharisees thought that Peter did this wonder in his own name, or by some mystery, as the Zohar teaches. However, he told them he did not do this in his own name, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Then he went on to say that Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Peter was the first man who said that in Jesus of Nazareth was fulfilled that prophecy concerning the great prophet, like unto Moses. No wise man ever said it concerning any other great rabbi who ever lived. And the reason is that no one ever came into the world who fulfilled the prophecy but Jesus, the blessed Lord and Savior? The testimony of Stephen. The other great witness was a man by the name of Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, whose testimony you will find in the book of Acts in the New Covenant, chapter 6 and 7. Stephen was brought before the Sanhedrin to answer certain charges which were preferred against him, and in his answer before the high priest, he said this concerning Jesus: "This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall he hear." Acts chapter 7, verse 37. Here's another testimony of a Jew, well versed in the scriptures. As you will see, if you read the two chapters of this book that I mentioned to you before, and then just think what this man suffered at the hands of our Jewish brethren because he believed that Jesus was the great prophet like unto Moses. Now, have you not had sufficient proof to convince you that Jesus is the prophet like unto Moses? Who else can it be? And has not every bit of evidence been brought to you from the Word of God? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20 in the Tanakh. Fourth, he was to speak the words which God should give him. This was an identifying marker of the Messiah to come. And of course, he's already come the first time. God said that he would put his own words in the mouth of this prophet. Did Jesus speak only the words which God told him? Or did he speak the words which some man told him? Let us hear what he himself said. He said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." John chapter 12, verse 49. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." John chapter 8, verse 28. It is thus plainly stated repeatedly that the Lord Jesus never said anything but what God told him to say, God the Father, that is, and this is repeatedly stated to the Jews. He declared what Moses said, but the prophets wrote what the scriptures promised. Are you a Jew? If so, do you really believe these words of truth from the mouth of the Lord? This is God's great sign of a Jew. Fifth, God would hold the people responsible. Moses, in summing up the qualifications of this great prophet, as declared by the Lord himself, write thus, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19. Now, dear friend, in conclusion, let me just ask you this question. What has been the cause of all the sorrows and troubles which have come upon our Jewish people for the past 1900 years? You will tell me the sins of the people. Yes, but what has been that sin? When Jesus was here, he said to the people, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." He told them also that if they did not receive him as the Messiah, their temple would be destroyed. They would be scattered everywhere. They would suffer on account of the rejection of him as their Savior, their holy deliverer. Has God held the people responsible for the past 1900 years? Yes, indeed, we sadly confess. Thus we see again how literally the words of God have been fulfilled. Jesus of Nazareth is the true Messiah. The deliverer has come out of Zion. God has already visited and redeemed his people. God has given to us a light to lighten every soul who will believe in Jesus. Are you a Jew? If you really are, then why do you not believe in the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach? We certainly have shown you clearly from our own blessed scriptures what it really means to be a good Jew. We have shown you that to be a real Jew, you must believe in the Messiah, Mashiach, who is the Lord Jesus. Abraham believed in Jesus. Read John chapter 8, verse 56, 58. Then if you want to be a real child of Abraham, you must believe what Abraham believed. Since he believed in Jesus as the Messiah, you surely ought to do the same. For be it remembered that Abraham believed the Lord, and God accounted his belief to him for righteousness. Believe in Jesus the Messiah. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your wicked way. Confess him as your master. And this will make you indeed a son of Abraham in faith, and not only physically. And may God bless you with the blessing of the true Hebrew Abraham. Then you will be able to answer affirmatively the question, am I a real Jew? As I have said in previous broadcasts, that we are all responsible for killing the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us. And the reason being is because all of our sins was put upon him. He became our vicarious sacrifice, our offering, our sin offering. Will you receive him? I sure hope so.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire, receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question. Is prophecy unveiled? If you are not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.